S brings us to science. Here's Richard Dawkins again, and Sue Lawley.
I once interviewed him for a television programme that I was presenting. It was called Break the Science Barrier, and we concluded by me doing an interview with Douglas about his enthusiasm for science. And as I remember it, what he said was something like, in the 19th century, you read novels in order to understand the human condition. And it was in that spirit that he read English literature at Cambridge. But as he was getting older, he more and more decided that in order to understand the human condition and every other condition, what he wanted to do was read science books. Science, for him, was the way in which you understand the world in which you live, the nature of the creature that you are, why you're here, why the world is here, why the world is what it is. And these obviously are rivetingly interesting, and a man of Douglas's intelligence could hardly fail to see that.
So Douglas Adams, the English graduate, had become the amateur scientist.
In a way, yes. The old sea piece know thing about two cultures. I feel I accidentally fell down on the wrong side. You know, at the age of 15 or whatever, you have to make this once and forever decision. You're going to be an artist or a scientist. I think because I just had a disappointing result in chemistry, I went off and did arts. And it's not so much that I regret that decision, but I regret having to make that decision in that way at that time.
So, science and the arts. Douglas felt himself to be split down the middle on that one, but gradually it dawned on him that his entire career had been an attempt to marry the two together. It's certainly true that he brought a great deal of analytical care to whatever he wrote, particularly to science fiction.
Certainly in my field, I've frequently been struck by correspondences between the way that a physicist goes about trying to get new ideas, new perceptions about the way things work, and the way that as a comedy writer, it is the sudden unexpected correspondences and correlations between hitherto disconnected things that suddenly leads you onto a new principle and leads you onto a new insight. One of my favourite things is the Babel fish. You know, you stick in your ear and you understand anything that's said to you in any other language. And, you know, people thought it was a funny idea. But there's a whole little speech which goes with it, describing how it works. And I actually worked that out in great, great detail. Now, whether or not such a thing, you know, would actually work is obviously footlingly silly. But the principles actually work absolutely logically. And I was terribly proud of that.
In mid-February 1998, the Heritage Secretary of the time, Chris Smith, was about to launch an Arts Catalyst Convention. This was a government initiative to promote closer cooperation between science and the arts, and Douglas willingly appeared on late-night TV to discuss the feasibility of this project.
Well, I'm joined now by non-clone versions of Douglas Adams, who wrote The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, among other things, and Lewis Wolpert, who chairs the Committee for the Public Understanding of Science. Lewis Wolpert, science and art, do they really walk together hand in hand very naturally?
No, I think they really don't walk together at all. I think they're really very different. But I'm terribly for what is happening here because, after all, here we are on Newsnight discussing science, and that's terrific. That's very good news.
All right, that's good news. But tell me why it is you think they don't walk hand in hand.
I think they're really very different activities. In other words, the individual in science is ultimately irrelevant because all the individual's work becomes incorporated into a social, into the knowledge of science. Whereas in arts, of course, it's the individual's work that really matters. No Shakespeare, no Hamlet. I want to assure you, if not Watson and Crick, somebody else would have done it. Simultaneous discovery in science is totally common.
Well, is that true? I mean, a lot of scientists are very famous. People remember Watson and Crick.
They may be famous, but ultimately irrelevant. In other words, given a group of scientists with enough money and enough intelligence, the history of science will be different, but it will all turn out to be the same.
What do you think of this, Douglas Adams?
I think it's absolutely true, but I think that, certainly, you know, the works of Shakespeare would not have been arrived at by investigation. But I think, on the other hand, there are a lot of correspondences. I remember many years ago, I was at a party, and I had a long conversation with an astrophysicist, and we compared what we did. I as a comedy writer, and he as an investigator of the physics of
you
the universe.
You must go to pretty strange parties, I say that.
I go to some very strange parties, yes. After a while, we began to discover that, in fact, we did exactly the same jobs, as far as we could see, because both of us were sifting through an awful lot of information in his
his case, sort of astronomical data, in my case, I guess sort of life experience, trying to find consonances between apparently completely disparate things that would come together and reveal something new. In his case, you know, more further hypotheses about the structure of the universe. In my case, jokes. But it was the same process. Admittedly, I have to say, this is not me. This is a convergence at the time, not only of art and science, but also of viniculture.
So you're making jokes with test tubes, really, when it comes down to it?
Well, I'm very suspicious of what Douglas says. And I feel that putting artists and science together, I mean, I think it's lovely that we should try and understand each other. But I feel slightly uncomfortable that there's a certain snobbery about it, that really artists are scientists and scientists are artists, and we are the true creative people. I want to say chefs, pop singers, pop musicians, industrialists are creative in exactly the same way that Douglas is talking about. And I just get slightly worried about pretending that creativity is, as it were, sort of belongs to the artistic scientific community. It doesn't.
I completely agree with what Lewis said, that the idea that the arts somehow are the exclusive domain of creativity is completely wrong. And I think we do have a terrible problem in this country. C.P. Snow, as we know, said this, you know, many, many years ago, and it's not an original observation, but it still remains true, that we get separated out at a very, very early age, you know, sort of 14, 15 or 16,
yes,
and we never sort of
streams.
Meet again, and we learn to despise each other. And not only that, but then of course the all of your opinion formers, your writers, broadcasters, artists, all come from the outside, and so science always gets a very, very bad press.
Very briefly, one word answer each, who's going to gain most out of this new initiative? Douglas Adams.
I think artists ought to. I think artists have got a great deal more to learn from scientists than the other way around.
I can only agree with Douglas. I regret to say
all right.